Blog Talk Radio.
Unhappy or discouraged with something in your life? And have you ever wondered what some people do to stay happy and energized even when their life is not going well or really after experiencing some kind of trauma? Stay tuned. Welcome to the Healthy Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, healing through love, relationship healer, somatic body psychotherapist, and health and wellness coach, helping men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love. Author of the Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me book series, the romantic novel Love in the Blizzard of Life, and creator of this powerful 30 Healing Through Love lessons. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter what age you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who keep proving that life can and often does get better and better as we reach our 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and beyond. Jonathan Robinson is a psychotherapist, best-selling author of 12 books, and he has been a frequent guest on Oprah and CNN and other places. In addition, his work has been featured in USA Today and Newsweek magazine. He recently wrote a book called More Love, Less Conflict, and he's here with us today to talk with us about creating more love and living in a state of happiness in spite of what's going on in your life. So I'm excited to speak with you today, Jonathan Robinson.
Well, I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
So right before the show, we were talking, and I discovered that you're living in Northern California, where all these fires have been going on, and you shared a little more about what's happening. So I would love you to first tell us about your background. You also mentioned that you had a house that burnt down 16 years ago. So tell us what you've discovered or how you've been coping in your life to find happiness no matter what's going on.
Well, I was blessed with having a difficult childhood, so I got into self-help and meditation at the ripe old age of 11, and that gave me a head start because, you know, my family background, I didn't really have much control. And you know, we all think that if we had enough control, then we'd be happy. But I don't see it that way. I see that happiness or peace is an inside job. You know, the Buddha said, don't look for happiness outside of you. You can only find it within you. And so I've looked for methods for doing that. And, of course, life is always testing you. You know, well, can you find peace even though your house burned down and you lost everything? Can you find peace when you're sick? You know, can you do that? And, you know, so I've refined my methods over the years because some don't work. But, you know, the goal isn't to always be happy. The goal is to be able to find peace within you no matter what's going on. And I think that is possible, and I have found that to be true. So that's really what I focused my life on.
And what was your education originally?
Well, I was a psychotherapist and also a hypnotist as well. But mostly what ended up happening is I wrote books. And luckily, I wrote books that Oprah liked, so I became more of a writer and a professional speaker.
Yeah.
You know, and doing that, I got to see what really worked for people and what didn't, because I spoke to a lot of people. And, you know, no matter what's going on in your life, life comes to us in moments, just one moment at a time. So if you can find a way to go within and find peace in this moment, even if, you know, a lot of things in your life aren't going the way you want, then you have a friend for life, because wherever you go, you take yourself with you. And I kind of specialize in methods of finding peace that took 5 minutes or less. And a lot of my favorite ones take 30 seconds or less.
So I have a question for you, because I've been bothered by this a lot. There are many positive thinking speakers who talk about, you know, overcome those feelings and be happy and find a way to look at the bright side. But when you're in it, like I watched my aunt die and I watched my cousin die in the last 2 years, and there's a sadness that can overcome you. And from what I know with body psychotherapy and somatic work, there's nothing wrong with feeling the sadness, letting yourself go into it for a while, and then you can come out of it. So what would you say about feelings and emotions?
Well, I think different things work for different people. I'm not, you know, I'm big on trying a lot of things and seeing what works for you, because I think people at different stages of their life and different levels of development really respond to different things. You know, one time I was very into positive psychology. Now I would say I'm more into spirituality and totally feeling things and not getting stuck in feelings, but being, letting them kind of flow through you. So I don't think one size fits all. What I try to do in my books and in my podcast is introduce people to very powerful methods that make it so you don't get stuck. Now, some of those methods, not many of them, but some of them are kind of positive psychology, but more of them are more based on mindfulness or awareness based. And I find that if people find a method that really works for them, you know, whether, you know, somebody dies or you lose money or your house burns down, all of which have happened to me, you don't spend a lot of time getting stuck in those feelings, that they move through you kind of like Chinese food.
That's funny to describe it as Chinese food. But you, when you were younger, you personally found a way to overcome depression and fear in like less than an hour. What did you do?
Well, one of the approaches to overcoming fear and depression is to face it head on and really get into it. Because sometimes the way out of something is a way to fully embrace it. So what ended up happening, I was very shy. And when I went to UCLA, I'd never been on a date because I was afraid of getting rejected. So I had a friend say, you know, if you get rejected by 10 women today, I'll treat you to a trip to Hawaii. You know, so I went to the bookstore at campus, and I went up to the first woman, and literally I'm shaking, and beads of sweat are dripping down my face, and I go up to this woman, and I say, hello, and, you know, she turns around, she sees me shaking and sweating, and she says, are you all right? Do you need an ambulance? You know, she thought I was having a seizure. But, you know, awkward conversation ensued. I asked her out. She said, oh, well, thank you, but I have a boyfriend. You know, are you sure you're okay? And that was my first rejection. And, you know, when you face something head on, it does get easier. So the second woman was easier. The third was easier. And soon I was actually feeling good because I was breaking through this lifelong fear. But the seventh woman ruined it. When I asked her out, she said, yeah, that sounds good. And I go, really? And she says, yeah, you know.
And, well, you didn't get your trip.
Yeah, well, I did. I eventually got my 10 rejections, but it only happened after I got 8 straight dates, because when you're really fearless and you're being yourself, it's actually very attractive. So my love life was set, but more important, I faced that fear of rejection and got over it. And a lot of times people distract themselves from stuff and they never really face what they're afraid of, so they never fully get over it.
So now I think I'd like to go back to a question about your house burned down. Tell us what that was like and how you handled it.
Well, it actually burned down while I was gone on my honeymoon. And when I this was back when there were answering machines, it was 2002, and I heard a friend of mine say, "Oh, I'm sorry to hear about your house burning down." That's how I found out. Anyways, I hadn't been informed because my friends had figured, nothing I can do while I'm on my honeymoon. So I called somebody and found out, because my dog was at my house, and I said, is my dog okay? And they assured me that he was, that he escaped, and that they had him. And once I found out that my dog was okay, it was like, oh, well, you can replace stuff. You can't replace a beloved dog or a friend. So I was actually pretty okay with it because I was so relieved about my dog. And, you have to deal with stuff, but life comes to us one moment at a time. And I just kind of, every day I meditate and focus on finding peace within, using certain methods that have been really powerful for me. So, it wasn't so bad, That's my approach.
Well, that's one way. One way to start a marriage. They're really starting out.
Yeah, exactly.
Starting over.
It was clearly starting over.
So you talk about different methods, but you have three best methods for quickly quieting the mind. So tell us about that.
Sure. I collect methods. I have this podcast called Awareness Explorers. That's obviously free. It's on iTunes, etc. And I've interviewed everybody from the Dalai Lama to, I don't know if you know, Adyashanti or all these different people. I'm always asking them, what's your best method that can be done in under 2 minutes? Because, that's what we have time for in today's fast-paced life. So let me guide your listeners through a couple of those methods. And if they're interested in learning more, they can listen to the Awareness Explorers podcast. So here's the method, and if you can, close your eyes. If you can't, that's fine as well. But imagine you have a big eraser, and you're going to begin by erasing your legs. So you just kind of imagine erasing your legs, just in your imagination, and then erase your pelvis area and your stomach and your chest. You might feel tingling or nothing at all as you erase it. Erase your shoulders, erase the arm that doesn't have the eraser. And then a lot of times people feel like they're in their head. But what would happen if you erased your head and erased even your arm? What would be left? Well, you would still probably be able to, you're still able to hear stuff. But what's left is your awareness. That you can't erase. Try to erase your awareness. You can't. And that's who we really are.
Mm-hmm.
If you have thoughts, see if you can erase your thoughts and just be aware of this moment as this awareness that's always in the background, that hears stuff, that sees stuff before your ego judges it as good or bad. It just is. And as you tap into the isness of this moment before you judge it, as you become more aligned with just being awareness, there's a certain peace that happens, a certain relaxation. And ultimately, that's who we are, is this non-judgmental, open awareness. And that's where peace lies. So that's one very simple method for tapping into peace. And, as I said, you can't erase your awareness. It's there. But we normally aren't aware of it because we're so involved with our ego mind of liking and disliking stuff.
Now, that's really beautiful because it stops you from ruminating about, oh my God, what's going to happen and what happened in the past and this is going to happen in the future, you know, and your mind goes in circles.
Yeah,
you
the mind
stops that.
That's what the mind does, but we are more than our mind. Something's aware of those thoughts. Something's aware of that. And if you learn to become aware of awareness and learn to become the watcher of the mind, that's where peace is. And you can go very deeply into that peace so that you even experience bliss and connection with all of life. And that's what a lot of the spiritual teachers, you know, I've interviewed everybody from the late Mother Teresa to the Dalai Lama. I'm always asking them, you know, how do we find peace? And almost all of them say the key to finding peace, besides going within, is to get more in contact with this true nature of ourselves as being an awareness, not an ego. And with practice, you get better at it.
Yes. So do you have another simple method that you can share?
Absolutely. This one will help you to get more into the moment. Once again, if you close your eyes, it's good, but it's fine to do it with eyes open as well. First, become aware of the sensations of your body, like the sensation of your butt against the chair or wherever you are, and just feel that. And then include the sensation of my voice. So you're aware of sensations of your body and then hearing my voice in this moment. And then become aware of your breath, breathing in and out. And become aware that you're also aware of certain sights. Even if your eyes are closed, there are certain patterns of light. So there's all these things going on, sensations and sound and light. And then become aware that you're aware of all those things. You might even become aware of your thoughts, judging how you're doing. That part of you that's aware of all these things is your awareness. And become aware that all these inputs of sound, sensation, sight, feelings is happening all in this moment, plus your awareness of all of that. And as you let go into the awareness of all that and relax, there's a certain peace or a certain focus on this moment, being fully here. And let go into the openness of that, not resisting anything, fully opening to all the thoughts, feelings, sensations passing by your field of awareness. So that's a one-minute method that's also kind of fun.
Beautiful. I want to keep hearing more. Yeah,
I have a list of 190 of these methods, and each week in the Awareness Explorers podcast, we talk about two or three of them.
Wow. That is really exciting. Before we move on to something else, how can people find that? Just give us the name of it or where they go to get to it.
Well, iTunes, you can just type in Awareness Explorers, or you can download the episodes. Of course, they're all free at awarenessexplorers.com.
Oh, that sounds great. Okay, so now I have a question, because this is related to what you're talking about. What is awakening? Why does that matter? You know, and how does that affect us?
Yeah, that's a buzzword now for, you could say it's the goal of spirituality. The goal is to really, you know, when I talk to awakened people, whether it be the Dalai Lama or somebody else, their experience of reality is very much just like they're fully in this moment. It's almost like a dog. You know, a dog isn't worried about, you know, am I going to get a vacation next week? You know, they're in the moment. And so awakening is being fully in the moment and also realizing that the thing that you are, which I call awareness, is your true nature, and that that awareness is actually connected to, say, a higher power, to God or to the universe, that everything's connected and awareness is connected to everything. And these words sound like gobbledygook unless you've had the experience. But if you've had the experience, you realize that the way to feel peace and connected to everything, which I call love, is through this doorway of realizing that at our core we are an awareness, and that that awareness is something that's always in the background.
It's beautiful. How can technology help us to connect to this, or is technology interfering with it?
Well, I like to say that technology has created WMDs, which are not weapons of mass destruction, but widgets of mass distraction. You know, that we're always looking at our smartphones or TV or whatever. So technology is the double-edged sword, because it does keep us very busy and distracted. But there are, you know, apps that you can get for free or low cost that help you to meditate, you know, doing guided meditations. I create a product that helps people to feel themselves as pure awareness and deep peace, and they can go to shortcutstoawakening.com to learn about that product. So I think technology can help, because like in the product I created, it sounds that actually help your brain waves to get to a more elevated state by giving you certain sounds, and then a guided meditation that helps you to tap into this field of awareness that I've been talking about. So, you know, if you use technology right, such as, you know, getting a free app that helps you meditate, like Headspace or Calm, or you use it to, you know, get Shortcuts to Awakening or something else, then it can help. But if you don't use it well, it can keep you very busy and distracted and not finding the inner riches that we all have.
Yes, and I have a reaction to that, because there are some people using technology and they say it's so much quicker than meditation. So they kind of talk you out of doing any personal meditation and just put this on and listen to these sounds. And I've done it, and I find that it may be good for your brain in some way, but there's nothing like sitting quietly and connecting to your own awareness.
Yeah, I think that that's ultimately the goal. But sometimes, you know, like if you're learning to ride a bike, having training wheels can really help. So I think of these things as like training wheels that can get people to take an easy first step if they haven't meditated before. And once they've learned how to ride a bike, and they don't need the training wheels anymore, and they can get there on their own.
That's beautiful. Thank you for explaining that. So now I have a question that I'm curious about, and probably a lot of people are. What does the Dalai Lama do every day to keep himself happy and to keep himself in this awareness? Because, you know, he is human, and I'm sure that he runs into problems, maybe financial problems, who knows?
Yeah,
so,
well, you know,
what does he do?
He's had a hard life. Most of his friends and family were tortured by the Chinese, you know, because they didn't like him. So it's not like he's had a joyous life full of ease. Well, one thing he said is, he said, when I meditate at least 2 hours a day, which seemed like a lot. And I said, well, what happens when you're really busy? And he said, oh, when I'm really busy, I meditate 3 hours a day. You know, seeing that that was really a key to finding peace. But he also said that he practices kindness. He says that acts of kindness help him to feel and know that we're all connected, and it helps to open the heart. And so I think that that was a major part of his practice as well. And studies show that the single quickest and best way to increase your own happiness level is to actually do acts of kindness for strangers or friends. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Wow. Yes. But I'm thinking, as he said that he meditates 2 hours a day, I've also heard, I've interviewed a lot of people that have been longtime meditators, and some of them have said that they meditate almost all the time, like driving a car and stopping at a light, and they're in a state of meditation.
Mm-hmm.
So he may not always be sitting for 2 hours, but he is meditating. I don't know if he
right.
shared something like that.
Right, and that's why I like to use these very simple methods that can actually be done while you're driving or doing other stuff, that you don't always have to separate yourself from life if you know methods that you can do in life that are a type of meditation. And that's one of the subjects that we really focus on in the Awareness Explorers podcast.
Well, that's what's essential, because it's very easy to meditate for an hour, you feel wonderful, and then you go out in traffic and you're aggravated, and you know someone disappoints you, and you just snap out of that state of mind.
I totally agree, and that's why really learning to integrate these methods into life is the key to, I believe, our next step of evolution.
All right, now you've written several books about love and relationships. So that's another question I have. I remember my husband had a friend who was meditating in the mountains. I think he was in the Himalayas. And, you know, and my husband said, oh, he's got his life in order now. And I said to him, put him into a relationship with a woman, because he was heterosexual, and see how far he's come. So what would you say for people who maybe they seem okay on their own, but they get into a relationship and there's some kind of conflict? What would you say for them to do?
I think of relationships as the advanced course. You know, see if you can find peace on your own, and then see if you can find peace when you're in a relationship. You know, that's like the advanced workshop. And that's why I wrote this book called More Love, Less Conflict, where I talk about how to use simple methods to create more love and less conflict, more, you know, peace in a relationship. Because I think that's a learned skill, just like finding peace within is a learned skill. And most people don't know the methods that have been proven to work. So I always try to create books that have like the greatest hits of all the methods that seem to work for people. And if you do those things, you will tend to have more success. I know, you know, earlier in my life, relationships were incredibly challenging, and now they're incredibly easy. But that's only because I got more skilled at certain communication things and understandings as to how harmony actually is created in relationships.
So if you could put that into a few words, how is harmony created? What does it take?
Well, I'd say the first thing is people should study communication, because relationships all involve communication. Most people have never taken a course or read a book on communication. So, you know, that's why in More Love, Less Conflict book, I talk a lot about that. But another key is being able to give yourself and your partner empathy, because people want empathy and understanding. And if you give people empathy and understanding, they'll give it to you. But most people don't know those skills very well, so they never feel like their partner never feels like they really are gotten, and they don't in turn feel like they are ever gotten, and that leads to a lot of frustration.
Well, it's hard to give empathy to someone when you feel that they've done something purposely to hurt you, you know, because a lot of times you think it's on purpose.
Yeah, yeah. It is hard, and that's why it's a skill. Even if somebody's doing something that looks like they're trying to hurt you, they have some positive intention behind it. Their positive intention
mm-hmm.
might be to feel better themselves or to feel less angry. But when you tune into their worldview and you give them understanding, it immediately makes them more generous and kinder. Whereas if you just blame them, blame never works. You know, never once have I told my wife how wrong she was, where she then said, "Oh, yeah, yeah, now I see it. Thanks for showing me the errors of my ways." You know, that's never happened.
Right. That's so true. So I have a question. How long have you been married? And has your relationship been conflict-free and easy because you know all these skills?
Well, we've been married 20 years, or no, 18 years, I'm sorry. And early on, it had a fair amount of conflict, which is why I really got focused on how to have a good marriage. And I'm happy to say that in the last 5 years, we went from having maybe one argument every week to less than one argument every 2 years. That's quite a
mm-hmm.
improvement. And also, not just are we argument-free, but, you know, we really are enjoying each other and loving each other, and it feels really good. So it was a hard-won battle, but I got to try out different things and found that some worked for me and some did not.
I think one of the most important things for each person in the couple is to feel that this other person really loves them, really has their back, really has their best interest at heart, and to understand the other person.
Yeah, yeah, I totally agree. And being willing to say little things like appreciations every day. So every day I try to fill in the sentence, "Something I noticed that you did today that I really appreciate is." And, you know, little things can make a huge difference. Taking the time to feel empathy, saying appreciations. I have, you know, 35 others methods that take under a minute in the More Love, Less Conflict book. And they really do work. You know, success does leave clues.
That's interesting because there's a very old song that I loved by Kitty Callan called "Little Things Mean a Lot."
Yeah.
And that song touched me very long time ago.
When people come to see me in therapy, a lot of times, you know, they're saying, "We want a divorce." And I say, "Why?" And they'll say, "Well, she burns my toast every morning."
<laughs> You know? Yeah, that's a good reason.
Yeah.
That's funny. Well, they usually say, "He doesn't understand me and he doesn't listen to me," and all of that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, that's what's really going on, but people... it's the little moments where your partner either listens to you or blames you that really add up to make a good or a bad relationship.
Right. What you're pointing out is that they add up, those little moments.
They do.
It's got like a ripple effect.
Mm-hmm. In fact, the best predictor of how happy or unhappy couples are is the number of appreciations they say to each other. So, you know, how long does that take? That takes 15 seconds. It has to be sincere, but, you know, if I gave you $100 for every sincere appreciation you could say to, you know, your mate, you'd probably come up with a few, you know? So I encourage people to do that and to learn how to communicate in a way that fosters understanding and empathy rather than blame.
And what I find, which is sad, is that so many people give much more praise to other people outside the relationship. And they give
True.
The blame to the partner that's closest to them.
Yeah, that is sad. And, you know, love's the most important thing in the world. So reading about or learning or taking workshops or anything that helps you to have more love in your life, I think should be a very big priority.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why your work is so valuable. So why don't you give us some final piece of advice? What would you recommend to individuals and couples to find peace and happiness and love?
Well, first thing is make it a priority. You know, read a book on it, take a workshop on it. Make it finding the method or methods that work for you that are so ridiculously easy and so fabulously powerful that even you will use them, because I'm lazy and I use these methods because they make a huge difference. And so, you know, make that a priority, because once you find something that leads to more love or leads to more peace, your life is transformed. You have a friend for life. So, you know, if I can be of any help in that way, check out my stuff. And if it's not my stuff, then somebody else's stuff, because we need all the help we can get nowadays.
And another thing, since I have been dealing with death this past year, it's a reminder that people will not always be here. And while they're here, to do what you're saying, to show those appreciations now, not later on at their eulogy.
Right, but right now. So true. Mm-hmm.
So just tell us how people can contact you and get your books and the product that you talked about. Just repeat some of that.
Sure. I have a website called findinghappiness.com that has all my books and such. And I have a podcast called awarenessexplorers.com where people can download episodes for free. And that's the easiest way to get in contact with me, either of those.
And also, you said you had a product that they can use.
Yeah, I have a product called Shortcuts to Awakening, and people can learn about that product at shortcutstoawakening.com.
Wow, wonderful. So you have wonderful resources to offer people. Thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you, Dr. Erica, for putting great information out to people. I think that's what's going to really help people through these really challenging times.
Yeah. So I look forward to speaking to you again in the future.
Okay. I look forward to it, too. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And to those of you listening, I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, saying goodbye for now. Please visit my website, drericagoodstone.com, for a complimentary healing through love session or lots of videos and a lot of stuff there that you can benefit from. I look forward to speaking to you again soon.